Well, good morning. How many remember Sandy and I from years ago? I mean, we're like as old as some of the fixtures of the church now. Sandy, why don't you stand up? Some people may not know who you are. It's my wife, Sandy. And we are your missionaries in Micronesia. How many know where Micronesia's at? Raise your hand. Either you're shy or you have no clue where Micronesia's at. All right, we'll try to help you out with that, especially this morning. When we get to the morning service, I'll have a video and you'll be able to see what God has been doing over in the Marshall Islands where we're currently at, and also the Federated States of Micronesia. We've been ministering in those two countries for the past 30 years. God has been so good to us and been able to leave some churches along the way, train some national pastors, things going very well. Always appreciate your prayers. And when you do remember us, remember the churches also that we have been able to plant, and the ministries there and their pastors, because they definitely need your prayers as well. This morning we're going to take a look at Acts chapter number 27, if you're able to go there with me. Acts chapter number 27. In the book of Acts chapter 27, we find Paul making his way to Italy by ship. And through the journey, according to the Word of God, he went through some really difficult days, difficult nights, about 14 days and nights, the worst storms you could ever imagine. He saw it all at that time. The people of the ship, the sailors, they knew they were not in control of this ship. They couldn't control it, didn't even know where they were at. But it got very scary. Most of the people on board thought they were going to lose their lives, but God came and spoke with Paul, and he said, "Paul, it's going to be all right. Nobody here is going to lose their life. You're going to make it all the way to Italy, and everything is going to work out." Now, the ship, I can't promise you anything on the ship, but the people on board are going to do just fine. And so this is kind of where we're at. As they were coming towards land, it was in the evening, very dark, and they did not know, could not see where the land was actually out. So they drop four anchors into the waters there, and they grab a hold fast before they actually would hit shore. Once again, they didn't know where they were at. They didn't know what was ahead of them. They just knew they were getting near to land. And that's kind of the setup here. Hopefully I can give you that idea. But if you would, take a look at Acts chapter number 27, and we'll begin reading in verses number 39. If you're able, stand with me as we read God's word this morning. Acts chapter 27, beginning with verses number 39. "And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea, and loosened the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And the falling into the place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land." Shall we pray? Father, we come before you this morning, and we are so grateful that we're able to open church doors and open up your Bible and say, "Thus saith the Lord God." And Lord, I don't know exactly how long we're going to have those freedoms, but why we do, may we be bold, and may we meet together, and may we invite you to come and be in our service. Lord, if we meet without you, it's a waste of time. So we invite you into this service. Please use me somehow, some way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When I read this portion of Acts, it reminds me of some of the boating stories that I have in my life. When my wife and I were first married, we had maybe two nickels to rub together. So we had a big year anniversary we wanted to plan. So we go down to near Tampa, Florida, Hillsborough River State Park. And we had a tent We had our sleeping bags, and we went there. We gave them $5 a night to stay in camp at their campgrounds. A real beautiful place. And we just had the time of our life for that week. Anyways, while we were there, the ranger told us that there was an alligator in the river there. And that if we got up early in the morning, we had a good chance of finding this alligator. And sometimes in the evening, you could see him as well. So we'd get up early every morning, and we'd go down there, and we just walk the banks looking for this alligator, but never did see him. Kind of wondering if this was just a legend or if this thing was really real. And so one evening, we rented a little paddle boat. So we're out there on the river, beautiful setting, trees on both sides of the river, the sun setting, reflecting off of the river. And I looked ahead, and I could see two, it looked like rocks popping out of the river. You could see them above the water. And I thought, could it be? Could we have found this alligator? And so I started paddling over there, didn't say anything to Sandy at all. We got right up beside this alligator. It was longer than our boat. It was a huge alligator. And once Sandy saw that, she started paddling that paddle boat for all she was worth. Our paddle boat changed from a paddle boat to a jet boat. I mean, we were out of there in about 2 seconds. We made so much ruckus that the alligator took off and we didn't see him again. I just always been fascinated with the water, with boats. When we got to the island of Kushai, where my son is at, it's a 7-mile island, 7 miles across. And so that's all it is. And in 2 weeks, you'll see and do everything there is to see and do. There's just nothing left. But here's this vast ocean. I mean, we're a little dot in this vast ocean out there, but no way to get out on the ocean. So I get the bright idea. I'm going to write my daughter. I think I called her, and I might have found it online or something. But there was a blow-up canoe, two-paddle, two-person canoe with two paddles, the whole 9 yards in a box. And I sent it to my daughter, and she forwarded it to us. And we're waiting for the day that we can expand our wanderings on this island. And so that day came. We went to the post office. We picked up that paddle boat, and we took it right to a place called Utwe Me. And it was a beautiful area, and we could paddle out maybe 3/4 of a mile, and we could get to another island. So we were going to head over there. So we blew up the canoe. It was a yellow long canoe, and we had two paddles, and we get inside, and we get out there. We start paddling, and hey, this is pretty neat, man. We're having a good time. And we get out about halfway, I would say, and all of a sudden a fin comes up out of the water. And I look at that, and she looks at me, and I look at her, and then a second fin came up out of the water. We had two sharks with that. And all of a sudden it dawned on me that I have about, a millimeter or 4 millimeters of vinyl and some air between me and the shark. And that did not sit well on my belly. So we paddled back, and that didn't go so well on a boat either. So I tried for a third time. And we got to the island called Jaluit. And in Jaluit, we had a 13-foot plywood boat with a 25-horse engine. And we would go 8 miles away to get food and supplies. And so one day, all four of us got on board. We went 8 miles away, and we went and picked up some leg quarters. They have leg quarters in a frozen block of 22 pounds, 10 kilo. And I said, I want 4 leg quarters. And looked at me, 4? You don't want the whole case? I said, no, I can't eat the whole case. Just give me 4 leg quarters. 4 of us, 4 leg quarters. Okay, and all of a sudden, it's just time is going on and on. Where are they at? You can hear them around back, and you can hear this crash sound about every few seconds. Crash, what are they doing? I walked around the outside. They took that 22 pounds of frozen chicken, and they raised it above their head, and they slammed it down on the ground to break it apart. And finally, they took a hammer until they got 4 of these leg quarters out. And they gave that to me in a bag. And that's how we would get our leg quarters. And my kids thought forever that leg quarters always were broken, because we're using that hammer, they'd snap the bones in half. But we really enjoyed the leg quarters. So anyways, we got that. We got some fuel. We got the back on the boat. We started heading back. And that's where we experienced what Paul experienced that day. I would say we were halfway or so, and it was 8 miles, so we're about 4 miles, and there's a jetty that comes out that I have to go around, and you can see from my left this storm coming in. Being a low atoll like that, just a foot above sea level at high tide, you can see forever. And Joliet is in a toll. So we could see this storm coming in, and I'm like trying to outrace it, and I'm not gonna win. Now I gotta make a decision. Do I go home or do I go back? I'm halfway, so I might as well keep going. It started raining so hard, I couldn't even see the land anymore. I had no idea where I was at. As we're traveling on, the rain started hitting so hard it felt like little BBs hitting you in the face, and everybody in the family kind of ducked underneath the front of the boat there trying to stay out of the weather. And I'm putting along, you know, little by little, thinking I'm knowing where I'm at, and we're just not seeing land. We're not anywhere. This is going on for an hour, and I'm saying, man, we should have been home by now. Finally, we see a spot where land was to the left, and that just wasn't right. We were heading out to sea, and if we went out to sea, that is not a thing you want to do, especially in a storm. I know at least four men who went out on these islands and they never came back again. It's just rough. If something happens to your one engine, you no communication, it's just a bad thing. So we were just praising God that we saw the land and figured we were 3 miles off course. And so I headed towards the land, and there's coral heads sticking up. And so we're trying to maneuver through these coral heads to where we can get close enough to the island that we could get off. And when it got to where we could touch, then I jumped out of the boat, and the family held the boat for me, and I dove under the water and hooked the hook and set the anchor, and we got on shore. And boy, we were so thankful to be on shore. So we all made it just fine, and we waited maybe another hour, and then we were able to go back home. But I kind of understand what Paul was going through here when he was heading to Italy and when things get literally out of control. Here in our text, we find that everybody was very, very excited to see this little creek area, this sandy place where they could actually put this boat in. You see, the night before, they didn't know where they were at. But I want you to know God knew exactly where they were at. And God put them in a perfect place to be, because when you're that close to a shore, at least in our islands, the waves come in and they're big. Waves come in rows of seven. So you'll have a small one, and then the next one's bigger, and the next one's bigger until you get that seventh one. And it's the biggest wave. And then it'll go back over and be small again. I don't know, ask the Lord why that is, but that is just how it happens. Fishermen, when they go into narrow areas like this, they will count the waves. They will sit outside and they will count the waves. When they see that seventh wave, they go in right behind it. And that's how they make it through these difficult areas. So we're seeing this opportunity for Paul and the ship, and they see the land, and it's a place where they can actually take their boat, their ship that they were on. So they undid the anchors and they let that boat start navigating. And then they put those rudders back in the water on those old ships. They were like big oars, if you would, and they would tie those on the top of the deck when they were in a big storm. Otherwise, the waves and things would snap those oars in half. They would have no way to steer the boat. And so they put those things back into the water, and then they raised their sail, and they got some propulsion, and they were able to take them and put it right where they needed to be. They got the boat close enough to where people could jump off of the boat, swim to shore. Some who couldn't swim would grab something that broke off of the boat, and they would float into the island, and they were in good condition. But the back of the boat was just breaking apart. Once they hit that ground and the waves came, the Bible says it broke those things apart. But the neat thing is every one of them made it out alive. They were all fine. And Paul was, I don't know if you would say a hero at that point, but maybe so. Maybe he ended up being a hero at that point. But I want you to notice verse 50. I think there's some applications we can find in this verse that we can apply to our life today in the year 2021. Number one, when they had taken up the anchors. You know, the application here is there's something in life that holds us down. And this something in life is evident for everyone. All of us here are guilty of it. But you know, we have a new generation coming up that does not understand that there's even a God, number one. Let alone they've sinned against this God, and there's a terrible penalty to pay for that sin. They don't understand that. You know why we're here in the year 2021? To tell them there is a God. And that He loves them so much, He gave His only begotten Son to die for them. And they need to see this in our lives and through our testimony and through the Word of God. And that's why we're here. But maybe you're here this morning and you've never answered this question about what have you done with your sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. In other words, nothing good is going to come out of sin. We're not talking about just dying and being put in the ground. We're talking about the second death, separation from God for all eternity. I have a niece that was a pretty decent young lady, and then she went to university, and she came back an absolute mess. They didn't teach her math, they didn't teach her English, they taught her philosophies of this world, and it destroyed this young lady. And you should see the things that she says. It's just amazing. It always brings me back to Romans 1, giving them over to a reprobate mind. And that's what she has. She denied God, denied God's power, and got a reprobate mind now as a result. It's sad. So we have got a huge mission field in front of us. And we cannot lose this battle. Take a look at Romans chapter number 3 and verse 12. Familiar verses of Scripture, but so important when you want to talk to someone about the Lord. Listen, unless you get someone lost, they're never going to get saved. We've got to let them know there's a danger the way they're living their life, and Christ is the only solution. In Romans chapter number 3 and verse 10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous. Show them the Word of God. Let them see from God's Word. There's none. They're not one. And they are not righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that is good. No, not one. Down in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, if we're ever going to get anywhere in this life, we're going to have to deal with this thing called sin. And we need to pull the anchors out of this thing called sin. Listen, these sailors were right outside of an island. But unless they moved those anchors, they weren't going anywhere unless the waves was going to destroy this ship. And that could have very well happened as well. They weren't going to move unless they pulled up the anchors. And listen, nobody's going to get anywhere in this life unless they pull up the anchors of sin. Notice in verse 40, the second part, they committed themselves to the sea. They committed themselves to the sea. They had to make a commitment. They saw where they wanted to go. Once they pulled the anchors, you have to understand, there's no resetting the anchors. If you've been out in an island like we have, there's a coral reef that goes around the island. And you've got one shot to stop before you're going to crash into the island. And when you pull up the anchors, you just lost your shot. So this ship is on the move. Now, it's out of control because without anchors, the rudders are still up on the top of the boat, and it's just floating. It is just being pushed as whatever the tides want to push it. Once you go to the left, to the right, straight, whatever, there's no control over it. But they had to make a commitment. And you know what? Salvation is us committing our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a surgery that we need. The lost don't understand. There's a surgery they need that is without hands. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11 said, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by circumcision of Christ. Salvation is not trusting in something that you and I can do to fix our sin problem. It is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and allowing Him to take His precious, perfect blood and cleanse us from all of our sin. A world needs to know that Jesus Christ shed the perfect blood. And there's no one else that can help them but Jesus Christ. Maybe you this morning have never committed your heart and your life unto Jesus Christ. Don't wait any longer. Listen, the signs of the times are here. I don't know how much longer we're going to have, but I know this, it's getting close. We need to be ready. Are you ready to meet the Lord? When you make a commitment on salvation, that's the greatest commitment you'll ever make. But that's just the beginning for the Christian life. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Brother Dave, I know for sure I'm saved. I remember the time. I remember the place. God changed my life. But I've never been scripturally baptized. Let me ask you, what's holding that up for you? Why wouldn't you follow the Lord's command of baptism? Baptism won't save you. But you know what? When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, people can't see what's going on in your heart. They can't see what God has done. It's a public testimony. It's to let the world know that I have Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want the whole world to know. Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Listen, don't be ashamed of Christ. Let the world know that you are a believer in Him and that He's changed your life. Because when they see what God has done in your life, they're looking for something. There's a missing piece of their heart. And they're trying everything in the world to fit and meet that need. And nothing will fit except for Christ. What if we'll take and show them the truth? We'll commit to baptism. What a beautiful picture baptism does. Man, standing there in the baptistry as Christ hung on the cross, dying to our old self, being buried under the water like Christ was buried for 3 days and three nights, raising up as Christ rose from the dead. What a beautiful picture of Christ is in baptism. Don't be ashamed of Christ. If you've never been scripturally baptized, talk with his pastor. Say, you know, I want to yield myself to baptism. You know, as Americans, we commit our things to many things. And most of those things we probably shouldn't commit to. But God has a lot of good things for us to commit to. And baptism is one of them. Second, you ought to commit to the local New Testament church. If you want to see God's blessings, you're going to see them flow through the local New Testament church. God didn't save you just to sit on a pew. God has something He wants with your life. And when you trust Him with that, it fits. It works. You have purpose. And you know why you're here. Listen, if it was just getting saved, then the moment we got saved, before we messed up again, God would take us out of this place. But we're here because we have a 7.5 billion population. And most of them need Christ. And we need to be here. As a local church, we need to keep sending out that light in our communities. And you picked a good one right here, and a good pastor that loves God and wants to serve Him. As you do that local testament ministry, we need to be a witness for Him. Can't stress that enough. Everywhere you go, on the job, at school, at home, at the restaurant, you're a witness for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we look over the last 20 years, I would say from 9/11, we think things are going to get bad. And it's probably true. But really, has things been so great the last 20 years? Think about 9/11. When I was in high school, I got saved in 1980. Man, there was revival going on in them. People were excited. People were coming and walking down the aisle getting saved every week. And I expected that to happen for the rest of my Christian life, but yet that's tapered down. And we get excited when one person comes anymore. Praise God for one. God died for one. But things have changed. I didn't have any school shootings when I was in high school. Never heard of such a thing. Everybody from 2000 up, I don't know when the first one happened, but this has been the norm. I've never been afraid of coming to a church because someone is going to shoot me and have to have the ushers carry concealed weapons because you never know what the world's going to do. Terrorism, never heard of that growing up. That's all we've known the last 20 years. Listen, things aren't going to get bad. They pretty much already are bad. But you know what? The Lord has blessed us all the way through. When it's darkest out, and believe me, America's darker now than I've seen in my entire life, a light is brighter than ever before. Listen, just get Christ out there and see what'll happen. Be a witness for Him. If it wasn't for Jeff Riggs, I wouldn't be here today as a born-again believer. He took interest in me, invited me to church. I heard the gospel. I got saved. We can do the very same thing. Will you be that person to somebody else? Because they're searching. They don't know what they're searching for, but they're searching. You show them Christ, they'll figure it out. Christ is the answer. We also should commit to giving. You know, the Christian life is more about giving than it is receiving. Giving brings such joy to the life of a believer. If we are willing to give, man, God will always give back more. I know of two churches that give nearly $1 million a year to missions. $1 million. These aren't big churches. 250, 300 people, $1 million for mission. You know what they found? The more they give, God keeps blessing them more. And so they give more, and then God blesses them more. And they're just very content giving. Because that's what the Christian life's all about. For God so loved the world, He did what, church? He gave. He set the example. What more could Christ do for us? He suffered, He bled, and He died. Left His glory in heaven. We need to learn to give. In Luke chapter number 6, verse 38. Turn there if you would. Luke 6 and verse 38. There's a great principle about giving here. I know I like my wife making cookies. Even chocolate, white chocolate macadamia. Probably my favorite. And if I had a favorite pastor, it would probably be, I don't know who, but I'd really want to be friends with him this morning. I don't know if that's getting me anywhere or not. But I like when my wife makes cookies, you know. She takes that brown sugar. I like the brown sugar. She doesn't scoop the brown sugar. What does she do? She fills it up and then she takes her fingers and smashes it down. And then she puts more brown sugar in and she smashes it down. She keeps packing it down until you can't get any more brown sugar in there. That's why the cookies are good. Take a look. Luke 6 and verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met withal, it shall be measured to you again. You think you're going to outgive God? Absolutely impossible. Give, and God says, it's going to be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken over. Our God is so gracious. And you know what He wants us to be? Giver that doesn't have to give, but a giver that wants to give. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man, according as he has purpose in his heart, let him so give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know the neat thing about giving, it's between you and God. It doesn't matter who else, what else anybody else is doing on giving. It doesn't matter. It's just you and God. You commit to giving, and I guarantee you, God will give unto you. He'll give you in so many ways. Maybe He'll bless your health more. Maybe He'll let that old car run longer than it ought to run. There's so many areas of God's blessing. Just trust God and give. So these sailors, here they are. They take up the anchors in the ship. The ship is now moving. They see exactly where they wanted to be, and they want to get the boat there. So what do? The third part, verse 40. And they loosened the rudder bands. They loosened the rudder bands. It's time to move the ship. Listen, if he has no rudders, he cannot control the ship. He must have a rudder. So these ships had those two rudders. They would put them both down into the water. And now they're able to at least direct the direction of this ship. The captain at least has some control of where this thing's going to be. You know what? Life is the same way. If we don't have rudders to steer us, our life is just on a toss. And the world is directing us. And circumstances are directing us wherever they want us to go. Listen, when you take your eyes off the Lord, you're going to fail. And you're going to return back to the sin that God saved you from. But if you allow sin to continue in your life, you're tying God's hands up. You're not allowing Him to direct your life into the blessings that He has set up for you. We go fishing every year in Micronesia. We have a fishing tournament. And the Ryrick Baptist Church, we challenge the Independent Baptist Church Arita. And every year we go, and for 6 years straight, Ryrick Baptist Church has won. Praise the Lord, we won every year. But I remember one year we went, and we went out and we were finding fish. We go bottom fishing. So we got a little boat, 19 foot long, little 30 horse engine. We go out into the lagoon. We don't go outside in the ocean. We stay inside the lagoon. Our lagoon's about 5 miles wide by 30 miles long. And we're out there and we'll find a place where we think the fish are at. And we'll throw an anchor down. The anchor is about 125 feet long. And we finally get stopped. And then we'll drop our lines down. And there's usually five of us in a boat. So things are a little bit tight as we're fishing. Now the currents are pretty strong in the lagoon. So we use a very heavy lead anchor, or we might use two of them. Very heavy. And because of the depth, we'll put two hooks on there. sometimes three, and we'll load them up with bait and we'll drop that thing right down the side of the boat. We don't have rod and reels out there. We use hand line. And so there's a plastic spool about this big, and you just wind the line around this plastic spool. And then to let go, you know, you just put your hand in the center and you just zip all the way down. You go down in no time at all. You're on the bottom. You hit bottom and you pull up about one arm length, I would say. And you just wrap it around your hand and you just wait. And you wait. And when that fish comes and hits your line, you jerk that for all you're worth. And you got another hook down there, so you just wait again. And when you feel that second one, you jerk that again and you start pulling that up about 3 feet at a time. You're pulling up this line. Makes a big coil right by your feet. So you're pulling up the line and you get the fish in, you unload the fish, you put new bait in, you drop it back down. So we're out there fishing and fishing's gone pretty good. We feel pretty happy. Then all of a sudden it just dried up and stopped. No more fishing. No more fish catching. I said, let's move, fellas. So I'm about halfway up of pulling my line when I made that decision to move. And the rest of the guys said, okay, Pastor, yeah, I think you're right. We ought to move. So they all wound theirs back up on their spools, but I thought, I'm just going here about a quarter of a mile, I'm all right. So I just pulled mine up and had this big coil of fishing line at my feet. And one of the fellows said, Pastor, you sure you want to do that? And I said, yeah, I'll be careful. We're just gone right over there and we'll go fishing again. So we get over there and those fellows had already, they just put their hand out there and zoom all the way down to the bottom. And they start catching fish and I start trying to set my line back out, and it starts going down, and man, before you know it, Brother Judy, I had the biggest mess of knot that you've ever seen in your entire life. I'm watching these guys, they're already starting to catch fish on my boat. But here I am, I got this thing, it's just a wad. It really is. So I got one thing around my big toe and the other thing in my teeth, and I'm trying to break this thing out, and I'm looking at them and I'm saying, why am I tied up in this mess when I want to be over there catching the fish? You know, that's exactly what happens when we get messed up with sin. We get all tied up in this thing. We're losing the joys that God wants us to have. We're over there seeing God blessing somebody else, but here we're all tied up in this sin. Listen, it's not as easy to get out of it as you think. I can't tell you how long it took me to get all those knots. In fact, some of the guys helped me to get out of that mess. You know, sometimes when you get back into sin, you can't even get out yourself. You're going to have to get the Lord's help. But listen, the Bible still says if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. If you're messing around with some sin this morning, will you just confess it to the Lord? You're missing out on the blessings that God wants. The Holy Spirit wants to lead and direct your life, but He's unable to because you're messed up in sin. Oh, just make it right this morning. See what God will do for you. Fourthly, it says, and they lifted up their mainsail to the wind. If they were going to move that ship, they needed some way to push it. They didn't have engines back then, but they did have wind. So now that the anchors are out, the boat's able to move. They have a plan. They know exactly where they want to do. They commit to that beach. They put the oars back into the water. And now they need a way to push that boat where they want it to go. So they lift up that sail. I don't know how far, but they lift it up enough until that boat starts moving in the right direction. And finally, when it starts moving in the right direction, then they get exactly where they wanted to be. You know what? We have a mainsail in our life that we need to raise up, and we need to let the Holy Spirit of God take His wind and move us in the direction that we ought to go. That mainsail is our heart. Listen, if you'll raise your heart up to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not much, but I want to yield myself to You. I want to be used by You somehow, some way. And I lift up my heart to You, and You send me where You want me to go. And you know what God will do? He'll put you in the perfect will of God. And He'll help you accomplish the task that He has for you. Oh, look at the last part of that verse. It says, and they made it toward shore. They made it toward shore. You know, the result of pulling our anchors out of sin and committing our lives to Jesus Christ is that we will make it to the promised land. It's not a hope, it's a guarantee. If you have Christ, he that hath the Son hath life. Talking about eternal. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Oh, eternal life through Jesus Christ by receiving him. But you know, God wants us also to confess our sin and to stay right with Him so that His Holy Spirit can bless us and direct us. And you know what we'll find when we get to heaven? We'll find a treasure laid up because we lived our life for the Lord and not for ourselves. We'll be happy for all eternity. But when we hold back here, it gets held back up there. Live your life for the Lord. Let Him lead your life in the way that you ought to go. Trust Him today. I don't know if you're saved or not. If you're not, I don't know a better day than right now to be saved. I would hate for you to walk out these doors, get hit by a car, and killed. Do you know Christ as your Savior? If you do, have you committed to scriptural baptism? Are you involved in this church? Are you a witness for Jesus Christ? Are you giving so God can give back unto you? Have you lifted up your heart and said, Lord, here I am. Whatever you want, here I am. I'm willing. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here at Branch Hill. Lord, we thank you for this pastor, this church, been faithful to support Sandy and I. How can we ever thank him enough? 30 years. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Bless this church. They've given. Meet their needs. Direct their hearts and lives. We love you this morning, Lord. Ask you to move in our other services. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.